Recording?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll call the St. Paul City Council Org Committee to order. Gracious good morning, one and all. Today is the first... No, it's not. Well, yes, it is. It is the first Wednesday of the month that we're meeting. And so, therefore, we will... We have our organizational committee where we get updates on our own representation on committees, our activities, boards, and others to share with each other to kind of... level playing field and make sure that we all know what's going on in the wide variety of commissions and committees and boards we serve on. And in addition to that, we have our monthly director's update, which is the top of our agenda. I believe we will probably not run up to our 11:30 time frame today, but we may, depending on how many updates we have from council members. So I will start with turning things over to our director, Brian House, for a monthly director's update.
Hi. Thank you. Good morning. So you have got two handouts in front of you. And so my plan for this month's director's update is to walk through my work plan, my individual work plan as the director of council operations, and then to also walk through kind of an update on the council work plan and the work we've done in the org committee so far this year. So I've been on for now about 5.5 months, and so it seemed like a good time after just under half a year to talk about what I've worked on so far and what my plans are for the rest of the year and going into 2023. And then I wanted to revisit, you know, the work we've done, where we are compared to what the work plan was when I first started, as we're wrapping up work committee and getting into budget season. So I will start with my work plan, which is neither of them are, I'm realizing now, neither of them are actually labeled. So my work plan is the one that just says task/project in the upper left-hand corner and has more, just mostly a chart on the front. So this is kind of just going through, I went through the job description that you all developed when I first started and kind of compared to that, and then just talking to our staff and thinking about just what do I do here all day and trying to put it into a format that I could kind of wrap my head around. So that was how I came up with this. So I'll just kind of walk through it line by line, give a little explanation if there is more to talk about on it and kind of where I see us going and my timeline. So the first line, the daily and long-term management and oversight. So this is how I spend most of my time, and this is just really like staff management, day-to-day office, running the office, making sure that staff are supported, the members have everything that you all need to do your jobs, filling vacancies, and then just kind of dealing with whatever like the crisis of the day is or emergent issues that come up that need to be dealt with quickly or timely, and sharing information, that kind of stuff. So this is probably like most days, 90% of my time is spent just overseeing what's going on in the office, just being available for people with questions and support and that kind of thing. The next line, so this is an immediate issue, the coordination and review and recommendation of initial round of applicants for the Ward 1 vacancy. So sent out that press release Monday, so 2 days ago, that we are accepting applications for that vacancy. Applications will come in through June 22nd, and then starting that following Monday, the council research staff and I will go through that initial round and just weed out those that, you know, don't live in the ward or for whatever reason didn't submit full applications, weeding out people that clearly don't meet the criteria for the job, and then figuring out from there how to share that list with council members and weed down or, you know, pull out the top to figure out who you want to interview and how you want to move forward in that process. So that's where we are with the Ward 1 vacancy right now. It'd be great if you all wanted to share that. If you want me to send the link around again, you can share it with your networks so we can get some interest in that. Next, since February, leading the council's responsibilities related to the chief of police vacancy. So this was kind of my first major task in this job. We developed the minimum qualifications and passed that ordinance. And then the other big task with that was filling out the roster for the examining committee and seating those members. So that committee is established, and they had their first meeting last Thursday, just their initial meeting with HR to talk through their process and all of that and answer questions of the committee members. They've got two more meetings scheduled in July. I think I want to say the 20th and the 26th. And then after that, the posting closes July 22nd. So after that July 26th meeting is when they plan on figuring out their interview timeline and how they're going to move forward with that. So those are public meetings. People can go to them. I've been asking HR for what their plan is to solicit public comment and haven't gotten a clear response on that yet. So that's one piece I'm following up on. And I can share that with all of you when I find out. But I know that they were still working through that.
Oh, Ms. Prince.
A question I have on this, and I can't remember from 2016, but my recollection is that the council is more in charge of it than HR, that HR is providing some training and some assistance or support, but that we kind of set the schedule. And so you're attending all these meetings and I think we should be in charge of it. And less about being responsive to HR, which I think to date has really dragged its feet. So that's just a comment and a question.
Yeah, so Councilmember Prince, I asked Kat Beltman on our staff to take the council lead on this, and she's out on leave this week, so she's not here to talk about her role in it. The ordinance that established the committee, we, you know, use the same language as last time, and HR is the department that's responsible for staffing and facilitating the committee. But our staff, Kat, is involved in all the decisions on, you know, planning out the schedule, where the meetings will be held. She's the one who's working with the co-chairs to make sure they have their agendas. So Kat's very involved in the planning of all those meetings, and she's attending them.
I'd really appreciate being copied on the schedule and when the meetings happen and what occurs. You know, I think all of us received an email from one of the members concerned about the consultant that had been selected, and I know that Deputy Mayor Tincher responded to that, which was great. But I think for us to know, you know, a consultant's been selected and this is a consultant. And also I wondered about the setting of the salary. It seems low to me, the amount that was set for the salary. Do we have any role in that?
I don't know. I think it's a range. I don't know there was a salary, but...
Yeah. It's considerably less than what Minneapolis is offering, which is, you know, not that is necessarily critical, but I think it puts us in a less competitive position to be able to get good people. Because the salary seemed relatively low to me. And I thought maybe we should have more input on that. But I'll just leave that.
I did shower today.
And I do, we're following the statutory process. Our role in the beginning is establishing qualifications and setting the committee. And I would say at this point, the committee is in charge. And we have a very strong committee chair in Kathy Lantry and in Sasha Cotton who are driving this process. I think that would be my sense at this point of what's happening in that process is they're driving. As we all know, Ms. Lantry is assertive and has her own plan for moving things along and has been really pushing. I mean, she's really taken where we handed off. She's taken up, but like, let's go, let's go, let's go, and kind of is keeping it moving. So I think we've done a good job in terms of establishing committee chairs that are stepping up into their role. Mm-hmm. Our role really comes back again when we approve or don't approve the selection of the mayor. So they'll, of course, put forward 5 applicants to the mayor. I hope we get 5. I hope we get more than 5. I agree. It's one of the unexpected challenges with the slowdown on HR side of moving forward with this process is that we're basically running concurrent with Minneapolis. which I think makes it hard for people who are interested in one job or the other or both jobs to apply. Mm-hmm. Because then they have to apply for two at the same time. And, you know, it sounds a little disingenuous if you're like, I'm all in for Minneapolis or St. Paul. You know, and it's so I think that having them at the same time is incredibly unfortunate as well. And I do feel that the process should have been initiated far, far sooner, and we've been very public about that. But at this point, the work is really handed off to the committee, which CAT is staffing, and I believe we have established a really strong group of individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pleased with the group. I think the salary range difference is significant between Minneapolis and St. Paul. So that might be something we want to look into.
Yeah. I don't know what our role is in setting the salary, but we can follow up on that. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So in the next line, facilitate and maintain dialogue with the administration. So I see this mostly at this point as my trying to build relationships with the staff of the administration, with all the department directors, and then maintaining just an open line of communication with the mayor's office through the deputy mayor. So the deputy mayor and I meet weekly, and then I talk to her regularly throughout the week as needed, as stuff comes up. And then I also check in pretty regularly with John Grubner as well, who's the mayor's office like liaison to the council. So that's going, I think, really well. It seems like, I mean, I've heard that they feel like we have a good relationship. I feel like we have a good relationship. So I'm just trying to really make that strong and make sure that they're sharing information with us and that when they share information with me, I'm making sure you all have that information. The next line, reimagine council offices for efficiency and future use. So the things I'm looking at here are whether we need any technology updates. Some things I've heard are, you know, our printers are old, looking at the software we're using, software and hardware to make sure that what we have is in line with what the other city departments have and whether we can, you know, look at any updates or upgrades in those areas. So if council members are seeing things there where we need something new or something better, make sure you're letting me know about that. But staff and I are looking into that as well. And then this is where the staff study that's in development is also falls. So that RFQ is, we wrote an RFQ. We found out that since it's ARP money, we have to do it in a different format. So we're working with HERO to figure out how to get that in the right format and get that out. One request I'm going to have for all of you on that is when we get that RFQ finally set, if there are any firms, we're going to be able to send that out to specific firms that we want to send us quotes. So if you have any firms in mind that we could send that to, please let me know, and I will follow up with you all on that ask as well. And then the last thing I have on this list specifically is the office space and safety redesign. This is going to have to wait for the staff study because we can't look at our office design if then we're also in the process of maybe we want to change up our staff structure. So they're kind of concurrent with each other, but we can't, you know, I've had several meetings with the office or with the building administration who we have to work with to get this office space like redesign work off the ground, and they basically said wait till you have your staff study back and then let's meet again to see if you're going to have any major changes to your structure that we would want to build the office space around. We don't want to spend money to redesign our offices for a staff structure that we're not going to have in 10, 20 years. So those are kind of some projects that are in the works, not quite done yet. My goal for the staff study is to have the report back from the vendor by the end of this year. So, and then with that, it's ARP money. So that money has to be, like, allocated, I think, by 2024. So we've got a little time, but we don't have that much time. So we're working on it. Next line, plan and coordinate the organizational committee meetings. I'll follow up. This is my next chart to give an overview of what we've done so far in org committee this year. Ongoing development and implementation of the council work plan. I think that kind of falls in line with the org committee, but when I first started, my first org committee meeting was actually Holly presenting your work plan. And so I've been using that work plan as, you know, making sure, as like the basis for my work of making sure I know what you all want and that it's being implemented and that it's being updated as we go along and we have new information and new topics coming up. Fiscally manage the council's operations budget. So again, going into budget season, I'm working with Holly to understand our budget and then make sure as we're working on the budget for next year that we have the resources we need to keep the council operating next year. Coordinating tours. So this one's been fun. You all in your emails, I've been asking you to sign up for a district energy plant tour. For next week, I've been working with Ramsey County to get a tour scheduled of their 911 call center. I've got a couple dates. I think your EAs have those on your calendars, but I do need to follow up on that now that I'm saying this. And then if there are any other city facilities that you all want to tour, you know, just let me know and we'll get staff to help coordinate those. But it seems like that could be some, like, a fun way to get out there and see what's happening. I know some staff just did, like, a water, like, plant tour, and it looked really cool, and I want to go on that one. Okay, perform yearly reviews of all council staff. So this is, my goal is to do, starting next January when we're done with the budget, to do a review, you know, have every person on our staff do a yearly review. And I want to implement that. Every year we're going to do a review process, and it's just going to be something that, you know, like clockwork, we just are doing. It's not going to be, you know, an overly, like, aggressive or anything like that, but it's, I always really like to have people establish their goals, go through the year, and then the next year revisit, okay, here were your goals for the year, how did we meet them, and what can we do to make sure that you're building up your skills so that you are, like, advancing your career in the way that you want to. So just making sure our staff, it's like, yeah, are you doing a good job, but also, like, are we supporting you in a way where you feel like you're developing your skills and your on the career path that you want for yourself? So I'm excited for that. To oversee and implement timely external communication. So this is kind of, you know, like sending out the press releases for the Ward 1 vacancy and police chief examining committee, things like that. Like when the council as a whole body is, you know, putting something out there, I'm overseeing those communications to make sure that we're communicating that with the public effectively and, you know, in a timely manner. And then making sure that the council website is up to date and has useful and timely information. I want to develop some social media presence for the council as a whole. So I have a Twitter handle for you all, but it has not done anything yet. So that's kind of a goal of mine, is to get us on, you know, maybe get into like the 2010s with Twitter, now here in the 2020s. So any, you know, along those lines, if there are ideas you all have for ways that we can kind of build up our external communications too as a whole council, I think that's an area where we can do a little more and be a little more aggressive. So I think that would be exciting. And then my last thing on here is planning and implementing the inauguration, a new member orientation if we have new members next year, and a council retreat after the next election. So planning for that, I anticipate starting later this year because it's going to be a lot of work to get all that together. So I have all the old files. So, and then if you turn this over, there's a back, and it has my, like, the second column, area of responsibility with the little numbers. It has my, what those numbers align with. And I got those, I based those on my job description.
Great. And I thank you for bringing this to us. And I believe all my colleagues know this, but I'll just say it again. When we went into the hiring process for our new director of council operations, one thing that was really clear to us was that there had been no annual review process for our council director. And I think that was a very big disservice to our council director because councils change, not even with every election. We've had people resign or retire many times through my tenure, and the needs change, the priorities change, and it is incumbent upon us to direct our council director in what our needs are so that we're aligned and on the same page. And so we've established a leadership team, which we can use as a method, a vessel for that sort of an annual review that's less public than sitting here and giving you a work review in at a public meeting. But at the same time, we're able to look at your work plan in a public setting and continue to tweak that and adjust it. It's going to need to be adjusted all the time. As long as I've been here, we have not had this. So I really appreciate your getting this together for us, and thank you. I would also just say that, as you all know, I'm really excited about the idea of reimagining our staffing structure and reimagining our presence here. And in some ways, I feel like COVID has been a blessing because it's really called to question, how do we use our space and how do we interact with the public? And so if I would have had my way, we would have done this like 6 years ago. And it's taken a while, but actually at the end of the day, I think we're really recognizing that we're working very differently than we used to. And also in the next year or so, things may change and become a little bit less distant and more in our space. When I think it was Councilmember Nanker who was like, you know, actually the most transparent place to be is here because no one has to track you down across the ward and figure out where you are one day to the next. And people do stumble into council offices to ask questions just because they know this is where we meet. But how do we make this a space where people do feel comfortable and welcome and where our staff feel not only safe and part of a cohesive group, but also many of us took a tour of Ramsey County's manager's office, and they've really redesigned the space down there to suit humans, and not there's a really kind of smart thinking around like bringing light into the office and making sure people who spend most of their day at a desk are in a well-lit, well-connected space, and people who are generally not in their office aren't hogging up all the windows and the corners of the space, but at the same time still have prestigious offices with bright light, and it really feels like a team down there, and I think that there's a lot of potential, especially then aligned with our staffing study and recognizing that our work has changed. We heard yesterday an update from Marsha and Nia about appeals on the land or on the rent stabilization, and so like all of a sudden that is going to be a new addition, and we have potential for staff there. What does our reception area look like? Are our ward offices staffed appropriately? And so those conversations are. I'm excited that we'll have a report back by the end of this year, and then able to start looking forward to design. And I appreciate your leadership on that as well, and that you'll. With the RFQ approach, that we have a little bit more flexibility in terms of choice, and it probably in terms of how long it takes to get through an RFP process will be truncated with an RFQ process. And lastly, I will just add that after you put this together, Jessica Larson-Johnston from Ward 5 office added something to your list, hopefully, that Jessica's really recognized that our Right Track program could be much more institutionalized and part of a system here. And if we intend to have Right Track interns every year, I know sometimes, honestly, I hedge about taking an intern because it's a lot of work. And if we know that we're going to do it, if we have a city council intern program where we have one day that's really about the city and one day that's really like Wednesdays where they're all here and then maybe one day that's about the community, but we have a program and a plan and a system that will make it easier for all of us to take an intern, because good heavens, what a missed opportunity to not have one of our constituents in the ward office for the summer, but gosh, is it a lot of work. And so Jessica's volunteered her time to work with Bren to establish a Right Track program through the council offices that will take some of the weight off of council ward offices specifically, because it'll be an established system. So we just stuck that on there. It doesn't fit on the page, so you'd have to go to the back page, sorry, our shrink font. But I think it's important, especially because we have had really good experiences with our interns, but it is just a lot of work kind of reinventing the wheel every year. So I'm excited about that, and I thank Jessica for driving that process as well. Any other thoughts on the work plan this morning before we move on to our committee combo? And of course, this doesn't change anybody's, this is just more of a system in place so that we have something that we can look to that's established and on paper. Obviously, your feedback and working with Brent individually is perfectly acceptable, fine, and welcome as well. But we just felt it was only fair to our council director to have a clear work plan and direction from the council. So thank you for putting this before us today. It's exciting. In a nerdy way.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate the request for me to put this together, too, because it really helped me. It forced me to sit down and think about, like, what is it that I actually do here every day? Like, I know what I do on a day-to-day basis, but, like, just forcing me to put, like, together a list of all the areas of responsibility, and then also thinking about, like, I work with all of these amazing staff, and, like, how does that all fit together? It was very helpful for me, so I appreciate this a lot.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. So the next document you have that has council priorities at the top is just an overview of the work that the org committee has done so far this year, based on that work plan that I mentioned at the start, that was established before I started. So, I mean, I'm not sure if it's helpful for me to, like, kind of read through this. I guess I can go through it really quickly. So, in February, we had a community first public safety meeting. I was here for that, but I have to admit that I kind of don't even remember it because it was, like, my first month, and I was like a deer in the headlights and had no idea what was happening around me. So
They read a script into the camera.
That's right. Okay. I have very few memories of, like, that whole first month because I was so just overwhelmed. But I don't know if I should admit that or not. But so then we had the River Center Visitors Authority come in and do their presentation on I think that was the Visit St. Paul thing, that they all came in March, Rice and Larpenteur Alliance, and they talked about the lamplighter license. That was a fun day. District Council CAC gave an update on the District Council work and the work plan that they are looking at for the year. Then in April, we had our big street lighting, copper theft, and parking meter enforcement update from all the various departments, and there's some follow-up from that we'll get to later. Then we had our Climate Justice Advisory Board and Climate Action Resilience Plan update. Then the big truck parking meeting, where we talked about the Minneapolis Ordinance and what's going on, what they're doing compared to the issues that St. Paul is seeing. And we've been working on some ordinance updates based on that meeting and looking at August 10th for a follow-up meeting to that. And that August 10th will be our last org committee meeting before we start the budget meetings. Then we had Great River Passage come in and talk about the River Balcony. They were also supposed to do the River Learning Center that day, but someone had COVID, and so we had to reschedule that one. Then if you go to the next page, we had Greater MSP come in to talk about economic, demographic, and development trends. We had Munir Karcher-Ramos from the Office of Financial Empowerment come in to give us an update on their work and their programming and kind of explain how, like, the programs they implement and develop versus the programs that are out in the community that they support. And then we had our second Community First Public Safety briefing from the new director, Blakey. Then in June we had our reparations report, which went really well. Then finally the River Learning Center update. And so then coming up, we've got the City Attorney's Office coming to give an update on the Immigrant and Refugee Program next week. Yes, next week. I can't believe next week's July 20th. That's crazy. Okay. And then July 27th, Ramsey County Public Health, the director of Ramsey County Public Health is coming in to talk about a COVID update on, you know, the numbers we're seeing, give us a sense of, like, where we are in the pandemic. It feels like it's kind of over, but it's really not because people are still getting COVID all the time. And, you know, where we are, like, and how to keep people safe going forward is kind of, I think, the purpose of that. Like, what levels do we need to see? Like, if we have to, you know, are we going to see a period again where we have to start masking again or things like that? Or are we kind of out of the woods of that now that everyone can get vaccinated? And just kind of that overview of, like, what it means to work in a public space as the pandemic turns into an endemic.
And I think I would add to that, and again, most folks know this, but St. Paul and Ramsey County merged their public health departments, mm-hmm. and it is St. Paul and Ramsey County's public health department. And so we did have more communication with them on a regular basis during the throes of the pandemic. But Director Hollies is pretty, like, a really great leader in that department, and I think having an understanding of the public health piece around COVID, but also the number of staff that works in public health is staggering. Mm-hmm. The work that they're doing is very expansive, and one of my requests to her was just, can we get a regular update just about the work since it is St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health? And so hopefully we can hear a little bit more kind of about overall overarching priorities and because I was looking at our six council priorities and thinking how many of our priorities are in Ramsey County Public Health. Mm-hmm. So many of them, you know, but not from city resources to climate action. I mean, it's just, they really encompass all of it. So I really look forward to that report and definitely hearing update about COVID and also just the more global look at how Ramsey County, St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health is connecting to our priorities. Mm-hmm.
So August 10th, we're planning a truck parking follow-up discussion. So looking at ordinance changes that we've asked the city attorney's office to look into compared to what Minneapolis has done. And, I'm still working on what this exactly is going to look like. So if there are specific follow-up pieces that you all want, you know, feel free to let me know. But reviewing my notes from the last meeting and then, you know, the ordinance work, but then if there are other pieces, too, that we had questions on to make sure that those are being answered.
And on that one, I would request that we just change the word discussion to ordinance presentation so that the administration knows we're done talking about it.
Got it. Taco about it. Yes.
This might be more in the engagement phase, but I think that because so many district councils have fielded, like, questions from residents about the trucks in their areas, or maybe just certain district councils. Like, I know in my ward, it's St. Anthony Park Community Council because of the industrial area by 280 and Raymond, and maybe just one of the things we add in is to specifically engage neighborhood councils that have had a disproportionate influx of, like, queries and constituent engagement and questions about it, because I know in my area, they're the ones following up. They're the ones that I think would want to be able to be involved in the ordinance in a way where it is, where it makes sense because of the neighborhoods that they are supposed to represent. So that's just another thought to add in as we figure out how to kind of co-develop what we're doing with the ordinance well with community. It's funny how many emails our offices fielded since the April presentation, because we are then able to say, we just had a whole presentation about this. There is an ordinance forthcoming. We will keep you posted. And I think it would be great to connect all those dots in this next phase to make sure that communication is getting out.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
And if they come to us with an ordinance, then we can take that language to the district councils or to our community before it goes into our system. So that, there's always that question of, when do you engage the district councils or community early, which I think we have. I mean, we've heard from our community members and we've had those conversations, but then how do we solve this? And in this situation, we have a good template because it's been successful in Minneapolis with what they've done. I did recently travel outstate Minnesota and was interested to see lots of places that said no truck parking. There was no truck parking signs in lots and lots of places. You can tell it's not just a St. Paul problem, but a statewide problem and a challenge, I should say. And I think the issue here is we're full up and loaded. There's not empty county highways to park on here. It's all busy. So I look forward to that, but I really think we need to direct an action at that follow-up meeting because we've been talking about it for a long time.
Yep. Great. All right. That is all I have got for you today on my update, but happy to answer any questions, or if there's any follow-up info that you want me to put together, happy to follow up on anything.
I think straddles two worlds, but one thing that Director House has been working on is updating our council rules of operation, and it's something that Rachel Tierney had worked on previously. There are some outdated or inconsistent language in our rules, like only allowing one person to stand at the microphone at one time, and we all know that there's plenty of times where a party of two comes up. It's like a lot of it is just procedural. There was something in our rules that said that the administration needed to approve items in our legislative system, and that is will no longer be in. We just thought the wording was a little bit too loose, so that will be taken out. There's just a few It's fairly minor, but I think it's just to make it consistent and to clarify and to modernize. For example, I think they say we require people to give their full street address, and we've moved away from the full street address. We have them write it down, but they don't have to say it in the microphone for safety purposes. So that will be, we'll circulate that for people to take a look at. I think you'll find it fairly benign, but that will be coming in. Brenna's taken the lead on that with Adam Niblick, and it had been shelved for quite a while, and then recently we had a situation with who needed approval to get on the agenda, and we thought it was high time that we clarified we don't need permission. So that I think it's a good change. It's a good change, and mostly it just is very clear. So we'll share that with folks as well, so they know what's coming. Ms. Prince.
I don't know. I have a couple of thoughts, and they're not necessarily related to the presentation which you just provided, which is very helpful and helps me, you know, recall all of our initiatives. But one thing I think we definitely need is an update on unsheltered homelessness. What the city is doing everything that the city has said the city's going to do. But the county seems not to be, we're not getting a lot of information on how the county is working with us. And so that would be one thing. I know we're going to start our budget process soon, but if there's any way to fit in an update on unsheltered homelessness. And some of you were copied on, I reached out to Deputy Mayor Tincher, and she said that they are wanting to put that together. So, I want to be really clear again that I think, you know, between the HEART team, the CARE team, the COAST team, the work of the deputy mayor, which has been just exceptional, that we have a coherent first responder program on our end. And the question is, now that the county has closed several shelters, where is the receiving end of that process when we're no longer the first, you know, it goes from first responder to the next step. So that's one thing I hope we can have happen. And then your meeting with the mayor's office, do we know what the schedule is for the mayor presenting the proposed budget? Do we have a date yet?
I think we do, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Holly, probably not. Do you not know? Okay. It's nothing. Okay. Yeah. So we don't have a date yet.
And then the other thing was, it occurred to me a couple of days ago that we usually have a report from the assessor's office. It, not necessarily at this meeting, but as we prepare for budgets. And it seems like it's been in June in the past where they come in and go through what the property value increases are and so forth.
I'm looking at Holly. Isn't that usually as part of the budget address?
Yeah.
Day?
Councilmember Brennan, Councilmember Prince. That report was issued usually at the end of March, beginning of April. I did send a summary and a link to that that's available at the county website. And then the county assessor's office usually presents right before we kick off budget presentations or usually in tandem with the mayor's office.
Okay, great.
And gives an overview. Last year was the first week in September.
Okay, great. I couldn't remember. It seemed like it had been sooner, but I had gotten some questions and I just wanted to make sure I was tracking.
To the point, though, the council prepared our budget priorities memo, and in that memo indicated our desire for the budget address to come as soon as possible, given the need to set the levy limit, you know, by date certain. And I just wrote down in my notes, we haven't heard back on our memo. So I think getting an understanding of what that timing is and recognizing that it is a challenging budget year, but that doesn't change the date certain that we need to set the levy limit. So we do need that time to at least get through the big four departments in advance of setting that important number. So I would expect to hear back from the memo by now.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate that that exercise and how proactive we have been on preparing for the budget. So thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, honestly. I've looked down at our six priorities, which we've identified, and they're, I mean, we are in alignment, and it makes it easier to identify those areas of, you know, with the nexus, and then gives us a freedom and opportunity to work individually on the things that are of ward-specific or personal-specific importance and use our group effort to advance the shared priorities, and it's been a very effective approach to organizing. So, agreed. All right. So that concludes part one of our conversation. Fantastico. All right, so we will move on to updates from committees, activities, boards, and other. If anyone has committee updates they'd like to share or boards, I don't know. Chris, you should talk about our yesterday with water. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, yesterday we it wasn't the first lead pipes that were removed in St. Paul, but we were on a block that was having the lead pipes removed under our new program that we all passed with ARP dollars and infrastructure dollars. And it was pretty cool that the family that they were going to do the work on that afternoon had two kids, young kids, and they were moving in. They had just moved in last year. The guy next door had his pipe done like the day before and was like, it was great. These guys are really good workers. All the workers are there. But as everyone knows, you know, this is a really important initiative for the future of kids' health. And we had really the kickoff of that. We have a lot of work to do, but the crew seemed fun. They really enjoyed it. And the work has started in St. Paul.
I appreciate Chris, or Councilmember Tolbert's leadership on this. Changing out lead pipes is like actually kind of boring and behind the scenes work, except for it's really not. It's incredibly important, and you have done a great job of daylighting this work. And I just remembered I had this in my journal, but if anyone wants to look at the, they're using this like cool design to promote the lead pipe removal that looks like a pipe. But it's pretty cool, and Chris was a speaker yesterday for on behalf of the council and on behalf of his work there, but it's so, so important, mm-hmm. and it would be easy for it to happen in kind of the behind the scenes, and no one would ever know about it, and the ARPA money that we worked together to pass is really what's driving force behind it, so it's really great.
And I'll say one of the reasons we had that is because we're trying to get information out there. Obviously, we wish we could have gotten rid of everyone's lead pipes yesterday, but starting the conversation so that people know what we're doing, why we're doing it, because it is a little, homeowners need to sign some, you know, liability waivers because they actually need to go into a basement and pull the, you know, to unhook the pipe there. That's the part that's not boring. The workers are like, yeah, we've seen some interesting basements so far, and we think we're just getting started. So the more we can promote that in your networks and on your pages to let people know, kind of start the conversation of, when we come around, get your lead pipe out and let us do it. And this is, I mean, it's a really good opportunity because it's free. And these guys are pros now.
That's great. Ms. Prince?
Do we have a schedule of when they're going to be where in the city so that we can start promoting?
So they're finalizing that now. This year is really the pilot year. Mm-hmm. And we knew that when we were passing. That's why we wanted to get that money out, just so they could kind of figure out, kind of troubleshoot the problems, stress test it, figure out what they can do. Next year is when they're hoping to be up full, up and running, and they'll have the schedule of where in the city they're going. Some of it's based on where the street reconstruction projects are. The street yesterday actually wasn't a street reconstruction project, but they're trying to figure out, and they're prioritizing where, based on the day that we have. Well, one, we're prioritizing daycares, but after that, they're prioritizing based on where there's the highest percentage of children and highest percentage of pipes. So,
great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Absolutely thank you for your leadership on that, because when we hear the nightmares about Flint, Michigan, and lead is such a terrible thing for young children in terms of brain development. So this is huge. And something that we can all be proud of, and I'm really glad that you were the leader on that.
Other updates from committees and commissions? I'll share that, and I previewed this a little bit earlier, and Ms. Maher also talked about it, but I serve on the League of Minnesota Cities, and I was invited to do a city tour with the deputy director and the insurance trust director, and it was really fun. We were actually only out overnight one night, but we drove up to Detroit Lakes and back, and stopped at cities along the way, and sometimes there was a large group of local cities that came to meet us. Sometimes it was just a mayor or just a city administrator, but it was a great opportunity, I thought, for them to bring, you know, some city slicker up to the, you know, outstate parts of the city and really connect with them on how their challenges are the same challenges as our challenges in terms of hiring folks and in terms of, you know, getting meals to kids in the summertime and their budget challenges with their roads and listening to their, first of all, they're under way less scrutiny than we are. When they talk about the things that they use TIF for, I'm like, I don't think that passes any but for test, but whatever. It was interesting. There's one mayor who's a real estate agent, and, you know, there was a lot of interesting transactions that she shared with us that I just feel like when you're in part of a Class A city that there's a lot more scrutiny. But by and large, what it really showed to me was just the commonality in our city's challenges and our city's joys and the investment that those other elected or officials or bureaucrats that have chosen to public service as their life work and their passion for outstate Minnesota and their little towns. It's just really heartwarming. And if I get another opportunity, I will take it. But if I can't do it, I will offer it to my colleagues. It was a very good use of 36 hours of time. Somebody on my social media said it was just a fluffy photo opportunity. I'm like, okay. Anyway, it was really a really, really meaningful trip, and I really do believe that there's an opportunity for the urban core to connect with our rural and suburban counterparts and help drive the message that we really all will do better if we all do better, and that there is no benefit for outstate to throw, you know, urban under the bus and vice versa. So I thought that was a really great use of time this month. And then I joined Councilmember Prince on the dispatch board, Ramsey County Dispatch Board. Therefore, we are now invited to go on a tour. I really, really encourage folks to do that. Like everywhere, dispatch is struggling to fill their seats. And it's a great job. It pays very well. It has a fairly flexible and interesting schedule for people who have some schedule flexibility, or if they don't, and they also have a 9-to-5 role as well. But the team there seems very, there's a very good energy and good leadership and management there. So as folks are looking for roles, I think dispatch is a tough job, but an important job, and something where if you, even people with mobility issues, it's a desk job, it's a position. But take the opportunity to go tour it, staff included. The dispatches, it's absolutely mind-blowing. It's like everything that you expect it's going to be and then a little bit more. There's like lights and horns and people all over, and you can hear how they're intervening. And I feel like more than ever, as we're looking at how do we dispatch the right resource to the right call, the work of dispatch is becoming more and more and more important and critical and changing the face of our emergency response. So, you know, do we send a mental health worker? Do we send Ramsey County? Do we send a police officer? Do we send the whole shebangle? And so that is very interesting. The meeting's too long. We're going to work on that. But otherwise, really cool, and I appreciate the push to join dispatch. Yeah, that's my updates. Yeah. Ms. Jalali.
Great. I have some minor updates from the Transit Advisory Board that also has some additional working groups that I'm participating in. The work for the 2050 plan is actually starting now. So these high-level guiding plans, they take many, many years to put together. The 2040 plan, just a handful of years ago, we passed and are working to aspire to. but the convenings are already underway to give some high-level guiding direction to the 2050 Regional Development Guide. The first working group met just the other month. I believe it was the end of June. And it was a very early stage discussion, but I am representing St. Paul in the metro area. There's a lot of different people that are kind of in that conversation. So it is a interesting moment to be in a group where all of a sudden you're zoomed out and it's like, you are here on the map. This one person is representing this one city. So it is a good space to be in, because I think a lot of our work is often focused on things like literal intersections, literal street corners. Like, we're doing such hyperlocal work in our roles, but this is a space where the region is coming together to talk about, like, what values do we want to guide the shape of our communities in the next chapter. So that is one of the important efforts that just got underway. It is both urgent and not urgent in that it is the issues are urgent, but this is for the long-term vision. So in addition to that, Transit Advisory Board continues to review and approve funding amendments for different highway reconstruction projects, have a conversation about whether and how they're incorporating mass transit and public transportation equitably, the design of those projects, and it has been a good learning experience. So those are some of the main updates, nothing of immediate action, but things that are kind of part of the slow burn and not cute, fun photo ops. Personally, I think a cute, fun photo op is just fine. It can be useful and cute, but that's what's going on at the tab.
Cool. Thanks for being our representative there. It's a big deal. Other updates, Ms. Prince?
Just a couple of quick ones. The Reparations Legislative Advisory Committee presented to us, thanks to all of you for the really good feedback that you provided to them. And I will be working with Marcia on next steps in terms of, I believe we're set next to meet with the administration and start moving forward with a final ordinance on that, so that hopefully by 2023 a commission will be able to be seated. I appreciate that staffing for that commission is part of our budget request or our budget proposals. So that's that. The Gold Line Corridor Management Committee has pretty much completed its work, and that will be moving toward construction start later this year or in 2023. Stephanie and I were out at a house yesterday. You know, you think that we did this really extensive community process, and, you know, I would sign up to go door knock with the Metro Transit staff to see how people are doing along the route and how much they know about what the potential impacts are. But yesterday we were out on a cul-de-sac, isolated cul-de-sac, where there's one home. A woman has lived there for 30-some years. Lovely home, beautiful yard. And she is going to share her cul-de-sac with the Aetna station of the Gold Line. It is so not good for her. It's isolated. It's off the main, you know, there won't be a lot of eyes on it. And so, you know, just when you think that everything's nailed down, we realize that at least for a St. Paul resident, they've somehow been missed by the process. So we're going to see what we can do there. And we're really, the Metro Transit community outreach staff is amazing. So they're working with us on it, and we're going to see what's possible. Otherwise, I think the only other thing with the dispatch committee, and we didn't get an update on it, was that they are working on the alternative response program for dealing with welfare checks and you know, mental health calls and so forth. So they're working on a strategy there, and that's something that I think it's important that we have an opportunity as board members to be able to review and impact.
And probably once they get established to come to the full council and right. To give us an update on it, because it it is Ramsey County, but goodness knows it's 56% of it is St. Paul. So.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, and it so directly works with our care team, our heart team, and our coast team. So our city staff really know the drill and hopefully are part of informing that process. I think that's it for me.
Other updates? All right. Fantastic. Thank you, folks, for the updates. Thanks, Director House, for your update. And let's wrap up with you.
Yeah, sorry. One more thing. I just realized I kind of forgot to talk about a thank you to all of our staff and how amazing they are. You know, I talked about my own work, and I might be, like, keeping the train on the tracks, but we wouldn't have a train without the rest of our staff doing budget work and appeals and licensing and the clerk's work and all district council communication, so all of that. So just want to make sure, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but to acknowledge how much work they all do and how amazing it is.
Well, and I'll just validate. I mean, I 100% agree, but I'll just validate that that isn't an afterthought for you. I know that we checked in advance of your report, and I said, is this job what you expected it to be? And you said, yes. Except the staff is way better than I could have ever imagined, and I'm really happy to be working with such great people. That was your first reaction. So I appreciate that. And I know sometimes when we're giving our out report, it's like it ends up being an after, but for you and our conversation, it was the first thing out of your mouth. So I think appreciate that, and I appreciate our staff very much. All right.
That made me think of one other report I have, and looking over at Nia. The audit committee is getting, I believe it's on this week's agenda.
Next week's.
We are going to be approving the Baker Tilly contract that the audit committee has made happen so that Baker Tilly can work with DSI, PED, both planning and development, to streamline our housing development process. So it's very exciting. We've got a great contractor, and it's finally moving forward. And Nicole, Director Goodman, has been regularly saying, how's that contract coming? So they're very excited about the opportunity to get that expertise.
Great. All right. And nothing else can be for us. We're adjourned.